2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Sucked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chachesko. And Chet is off tonight as he spends some time traveling with his father to a World War II annual veterans reunion. They always have a great time there. Chet always brings back stories, and we'll have plenty of them to talk about next week. Filling in those big Chesko shoes tonight will be our good friend, former Eagles linebacker Kevin Riley, to talk all things Eagles and the NFL. We might even sneak in some college football talk if we get a chance. We will have Fred Hugo with our Fred and Butter segment handicapping the NFC East games. And as much as it pains me, we will have our Week 2 winner of the Philly Press Box Pick'em Pool on as well. But before we get started with that, we want to let our listeners know we will have our Carl's Cards and Collectibles trivia question again tonight. We'll be giving away a signed 8x10 color photo of Eagles defensive back Rodney McLeod to the first person that can call and correctly answer the trivia question. Rodney will be signing the photo this Saturday at Carl's Cards. So we'll have that question ready right about 7:27 or so. So write this number down so you're ready to go. Our shopforkisses.org phone line is 929-477-2855. That's 929-477-2855. So with that business taken care of, let's welcome tonight's guest making a return visit to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, our good friend and former Eagles linebacker, Kevin Riley. Welcome back, Kevin.
Bill, it's glad to be back. Sorry the tech's not here tonight, but I'll enjoy talking to you for the next 20 minutes or so.
There you go. Well, hey, now that you're retired from doing the Eagles pre- and post-game broadcast, and what's it like sitting back as a fan, enjoying the game with your family and maybe your favorite beverage?
Well, I tell you what, I'm still doing one of the reasons that I left the Eagles programming, I had a really great run, Bill, 16 years. You know, I was way overdue to be fired, and I left on my own terms basically because I'm doing high school football on Friday nights for Comcast Sportsnet, and I'm doing Villanova football for the second year in a row, and I really love going back to my alma mater, and we'll talk a little bit about them later on. They're a little under the radar now at 2-1 after a real tough battle against Pitt for their only loss. And then doing Sundays, it was just too much. I was a wet noodle on Monday. I'm not my 25-year-old linebacker that I used to be, and I got 10 grandkids. So to answer your question, last Sunday, with two of my grandsons, my son, and two brothers-in-laws, we watched the Eagles and cheered loudly in my den here, and it was a lot of fun. And then I don't have to do a post-game show at 2 o'clock in the morning after the Eagles leave and become Dr. Phil and walk all those crazy Eagle fans down off the bridges in Philly.
Well, hey, you mentioned doing the Villanova games and the high school games. What else you have going on? I know you don't sit around.
Well, in the last 15 years, I've done a lot of motivational speaking, and right now it's probably the best it's ever been. I don't know, you know, why there's such a demand for it. I guess there's a lot of things that, you know, from a moral compass standpoint, that a lot of schools and corporations and teams, I've had the privilege of talking to the Eagles players in mass, and also John Harbaugh had me down 2 years ago to talk to the Baltimore Ravens. He and I became friends when he was a special teams coach up here in Philadelphia, and I really enjoy doing it. I do some Catholic men's conferences too, which is, you know, really something I enjoy. You know, when you go out to Norman, Oklahoma, and there's 1,500 men that have given up their Saturday to hear four speakers, you really feel a privilege to be standing in front of these guys, sharing the same value systems and encouraging them to do more for their fellow man. So it's really been a great, switch over from 30 years of corporate life, which I had, and I started doing this stuff probably the last 10 years of my corporate life, so it was a real easy transition to start doing it full time. And I'm 65 now, and I'm probably as busy now than I've ever been, but I really enjoy what I'm doing. As you know, there's nothing better than working for yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Well, if people were interested in getting you to come to their event or whatever, do some public speaking, motivational speaking, how can they go about getting a hold of you to make that happen?
Well, if they go onto my website, it's www.kreilly.com. All the information's there to get in touch with me. And, you know, I enjoy doing this. So if anybody's interested, and I can talk to any level. I have been able to talk to second, third, and fourth graders in a trial program for Special Olympics. And it was really a program that's called Project Unify that has now gone national. Part of the 45-minute presentation teaching second, third, and fourth grade kids in kind of the outskirts area, the farmlands of Delaware and stuff, where they don't have an opportunity to have enough special needs kids for special schools where they mainstream them. And they wanted to get these kids taught and really on the right track with handling people with differences. And I got to tell you, the kids were more on board than I ever thought they would be. We could take a lesson from them. But I do stuff like that all the way up to talking to, you know, pro football teams. And I've talked to the University of Villanova's football team, the entire sports teams of the University of Delaware. They gather them once a year. And, boy, to have a Villanova guy come back and talk to the Delaware Blue Hens is something in itself. You know, it's like having the Dallas Cowboy come in and talk to the Eagles locker room. But I'm accepted here because I'm a Delawarean. And so I enjoy all of those venues, and I have different messages to reach them all. So if anybody's interested, if you go to www.kreilly.com, you can get my information and be glad to talk to you.
I will ask you something on your website, because I've looked at this up on YouTube and some of the things that are on there of you and your speeches. And I have to ask, are they part of that website, or can they listeners go to YouTube and just type in Kevin Reilly and get them that way, because they're fantastic?
They can do, you're right on the ball there. They can do both of those. You can just go to YouTube and type in my name, and there's a couple of parts of my speeches up there. You don't want to give the whole story away. And then you can go on my website and get it also. And I guess I failed to mention too, because you've seen me in action now at the Vermeil tournament. I also act as an auctioneer. I do about 15 charity auctioneering gigs a year, and I have a lot of fun with people. As you know, I like fun and laughter while we're doing the auction. And we've also, raised a lot of money doing that. That Dick Vermeil's golf tournament that you and Jed attended, we raised $36,000 at just the live auction piece of it, which was really great.
Well, and that was actually the next thing that was on my list, and because this is the first time we've had you back on since that Dick Vermeil golf outing, and Chet, you know, couldn't be here, obviously, but from both of us, we wanted to thank you again for that invite. It was a fantastic event, and who would have ever known that Kevin Reilly is a real live auctioneer?
Well, you know, my mother had a saying, Bill, that the more things you can do, the longer you'll be employed, and I took that to heart. So early in my life, when I was just newly married, we put a lot of money into a house and didn't have enough for furniture, so we went to auctions to buy antiques and you know, sofas and stuff, and I just started mimicking the guys on my way home in the car. And a lot of people think it's really tough, but it's not as tough as learning a second language like French or Spanish or anything. It's just got to have a little bit of showmanship and be able to talk fast. But I enjoy it, and it's really fulfilling to me to be able to do that and make the money for charitable organizations. And by the way, you guys, you got to mark it down. June 20th is going to be the big one. It's going to be Coach Vermeil's 25th and possibly his last Vermeil Classic. And already I've gotten responses from Trent Green and the former quarterback out there with the Kansas City Chiefs and a couple other, you know, really big names that are going to come in for this event, especially for the coach, because it may be a swan song.
Wow, that's awesome. And I can tell you, Chet and I talked about this on the show after we were there, how good it was. And we've had a lot of people talk to us about, you know, how they can get in. And, you know, is it too expensive? You know, that's their thing. If they want to just get a bunch of buddies, is it too expensive, or do they kind of have to do it through a business? But there's a whole lot of people that are really interested in this.
Well, boy, you know, I would have jumped all over this opportunity 9 years ago when I took over the golf tournament, because it was starting to go the other way. It was really starting to be diminished. And that happens if you don't keep things fresh. Dick has a saying that I believe in: if there's only one way to coast, and that's downhill. If you don't do something new every year and raise the target of the money you raise and try new things, you can't keep it fresh. And we've been really fortunate. It might be a good time to get out now while we're on top. But I'm actually going to go to the Downingtown Country Club next week, and that's owned by Ron Jaworski. We moved the tournament there because he bought that club. And we've got to talk about adding a second club in order to handle what is going to be anticipated for the 25th, anniversary of this thing. And that's been done by other organizations where you all meet in the morning and you split up. Somebody goes to the other club very close, and then you all meet back at the club, you know, for the dinner, as you saw. And we're going to be sold out again. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to probably have to turn some people away. So it would be very tough to get in there, but because you guys are such loyal fans and the way you take care of us, we definitely want you and Chet there next year, because I think it's going to be really something that people will remember for a long time, especially the players. It's like an alumni event for them. You know, we gather about once a year. The more guys that hear about it, the more guys that say, yeah, I'll have it, and they come out, because they've got to spend a couple days, and most of them, almost all of them, pay for their own airfare. We take care of their hotel rooms. We get those donated because we want to make as much money for the charity as possible. But it'll probably be sold out this year, Chet, but you know, if anything opens up, I'll be sure to let you guys know.
All right, that's great. Well, hey, let's talk about the Eagles. As we know, 2-0, which may be a surprise to some, especially with the start of Carson Wentz. But what's your early opinion on rookie head coach Doug Peterson?
Surprise, almost to the point when they first mentioned Doug Peterson as even being in the, you know, the ring for the head coaching job, I thought, well, he's going to be, you know, a long shot. And the only thing I thought he had going for him was, you know, Andy Reid, who still has a great relationship with the Eagles brass, is Andy Reid talking him up. And Andy's a, you know, pretty straight shooter, and he must have done a heck of a job of convincing these guys that Doug really had what it took, you know, to be in the league. And my goodness, Bill, we're 2-0 for the first time in Philadelphia since 1961. This guy, Doug Peterson, is a little bit under the radar right now because of a guy named Carson Wentz, who has just lit up the NFL in his first two appearances. You know, you talk about as advertised, better than advertised. And just to talk a little bit about him, and I've been asked a lot in the last 2 weeks what I thought, and I've met this guy. You get a good vibe the first time you see him. The first thing that sticks out in your mind is, this guy is a rugged-looking individual. He's 6'5". He's got shoulders like a guy that would, you know, be a, you know, butterfly swimmer. But he's thin, thin, thick-wise. He's very wide, big shoulders, and you know, he's got like a lower body that looks like it could be, you know, a linebacker or, you know, a defensive back, kind of slim. But he's a big dude and very, very personable, very approachable. And the thing that I think has really listed him, and this is really a great lesson for anybody playing sports that is caught behind a starter. It so often happens that when you get caught behind a starter, you're not putting the effort in mentally or physically during practice to keep yourself ready because you're not getting the snaps in the game. It was a guy, think about this, Bill. Just 3 weeks ago, maybe three and a half now, he was the third-string quarterback on the Philadelphia Eagles, and there was a good possibility that he wasn't going to get a sniff to run the offense at all this year. He could have been, in all practical purposes, an NFL redshirt. The other thing that I think he has going for him is he placed 15th on the all-time list. He ranks 15th in the Wonderlic testing, which is what they test quarterbacks on to see just how smart they are, like the NFL version of the SATs. That's pretty impressive, and I don't know who the other 14 guys were, but I bet most of them were not, you know, all pros. Anyway,
right.
You know, this guy absorbed everything that was taught to him at North Dakota State. Then he gets to an Eagles team that has three former NFL quarterbacks on their coaching staff. And he has been known to be the first one and the last one to leave. And he was in there studying as if he was going to start. The opportunity presents itself. And man, was he ever ready. If you watched the game last week against the Chicago Bears, they had a great, you know, running game, their first game. They come out in the first six, and they run an empty backfield with him making signals and changes at the line of scrimmage. And at some point in the second half, Bill, I thought he was going to yell out Omaha because he started reminding me of Peyton Manning. You know, he
yeah.
looked so confident. He looked so confident back there that it was incredible. So he's a tough kid. I think his only knock right now is instinctively they've got to get him to stop running. He's going to get hurt. And as a rookie in the NFL, and you're making 5 and 6 year veterans look bad, they not only want to hit you hard, they want to knock you out of the game. And he's going to have a target on his back, you know, for the next several games. So we really hope that he learns how to slide. But so far, this guy is everything is advertised and more.
Yeah, I was going to mention to you, I saw that comment written yesterday about the Peyton Manning, the way Wentz was controlling the line of scrimmage and making things happen. It was absolutely amazing to me, you know, and I've been on the bandwagon right from day one. I went to that Tampa Bay preseason game, and as soon as I saw him on the field in warmups, I was like, oh my gosh, does this guy look good in a football uniform? He's not a quarterback like anything we've seen in my lifetime in Philadelphia, looking, you know, the way he looks.
Well, without a doubt. And the other thing is the way he throws the football with the flick of the wrist or the full arm, he's got a kind of couple different deliveries. I just was shocked last week against the Bears when he rolled out left and threw a perfect spiral to Aguilar between two receivers on the run. I went, whoa. That's the kind of play that, you know, you see Aaron Rodgers make, Roethlisberger from Pittsburgh. And this kid's making those kind of throws right now. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to be all pro and he's going to run into a bad game here and there. But the other thing I really liked about last week, no problem when these guys were dropping balls on him. You know, you could see people get frustrated, especially if you've got that kind of talent and you're really, you know, you're playing your best and guys aren't making you look good. You could start getting a little agitated in the huddle. And he was just clapping his hands and, okay, next play. You know, and I think that's a tremendous attitude to have as a quarterback. And last but not least, my internal sources say that the team, he has the entire team backing him and following him as a leader. That's unheard of for a rookie quarterback in the NFL. But he's got that type of attitude and disposition that he's very well liked in the locker room.
Yeah, I think it was Brandon Graham after the first game, you know, how they catch him walking in the locker room and he made some comment like, this boy can ball.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, it's really nice
stuff.
To have. It's almost like, you know, your town's been beat up and the Outlaws are coming in, and all of a sudden, you got a real great gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other things can go right, and a lot of other guys can step up when things are going that well. I think, Bill, too, the other really important factor this early part of the Eagles season, and I pointed out to this, I did my homework last year when I was doing the Eagles radio show. When we went into the 16th game of the season, you know, the Eagles for the third year in a row, their offense was worst in time possession, which will tell you that means their defense was first in time on the field. And I figured it out by the minute that going into the 16th game, they were playing the second half of their 18th ball game of the year by average standards. And if you take a look at the Eagles' last 3 years under Chip Kelly, that's when they faltered, was down the stretch. And that, I think, leads to them being tired. And when you're tired, there's an old saying, you know, fatigue makes cowards of us all. You just don't play well. So far this year, the Eagles' offense is ranked number one in the NFL only after two games in time of possession, which tells you the defense is getting in and off the field. And that tells you a lot, too. That means they're playing well. But Jim Schwartz has done a tremendous job with almost the same personnel that they had last year. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that he went from a 3-4 defense to a 4-3. When you see how valuable Fletcher Cox is, and I think he is the premier pass rusher defensive tackle, or one of the top three in the league. He was double-teamed almost every play against the Chicago Bears and still pushing people back into the pocket. Why would you ever devise your defense to be a 3-4 that he was uncomfortable in when you could have built a defense around him with a 4-3? And I think Schwartz came in and, along with Peterson, and said, we're going to go 4-3. And also that really helps Vinnie Curry, who was used to the 4-3 defense. So it gave him a lot more opportunity. The only guy that I'm really worried about on that defense that just is not making plays last year or this year is Connor Barwin. And, I really thought that he was going to be a perennial all-pro. But there's something that he's not doing right, or there's something in this scheme that doesn't fit his style of play. But that being said, defensive backs look pretty good. They're kind of now got enough backup at linebacker, and they're rotating six and seven guys in, or seven or eight guys in on the defensive line, which will really tire out an offense. And it's starting to show late in the game where the Eagles are putting people away now instead of making this go down to the last 5 seconds on the edge of our chairs.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you about another question about Wentz. You've been in the locker room, you've been on the practice field, and I guess my question to you would be, could Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman and the staff, do you think it's possible that they could see in Wentz on the practice field what they're seeing now, which made Bradford expendable? Or do you think they're probably as surprised as we are that this kid is playing as well as he is?
I think it was the former. I think that, Peterson saw the work ethic this guy had. Doug's a pretty smart guy, and he sees this guy picking up the offense and assimilating into practice every single day. They were talking about how few times he makes the same mistake twice. But that was a big leap of faith. All that being said, I would have liked to have been in the room during that discussion. But when I saw the offering on the table, Bill, I said, it'd be crazy not to take this deal. When are you going to get a first-round draft pick and possibly a second or third, a guaranteed fourth? But depending on how things lay out, you could get a second or third round draft pick for, the following year, 2018, and you get a first round pick. And what are you going to do with Bradford next year anyway? And here's what I think was the tipping point. I think if you're in there and it's a tied ball game and the three of you are talking and somebody brings up, Sam Bradford tore his knee up once, major operation, tore the same knee up against, and there was some speculation, and he will admit this, Sam will admit, whether he wanted to come back and play football again. So you say to yourself, here's the tiebreaker. If he tears that knee up again, is there any doubt in your mind with the $11 million signing bonus he got that he's going to come back? He's going to probably hang him up. And what would he be worth to you then as a trade bait? Zero. So I think seeing that, they said, well, let's go with the rook and see what happens. And it looks, if they can keep Bradford healthy, and that's really speculative after the way he got hit last week. And, I got to tell you something. He's a lot tougher than a lot of people give him credit for. But he looked very, very good in his debut. And I think he would have been good here. But if you've got Carson Wentz, it's going to continue to improve, and he's going to get this rookie year under his belt. He's 1 year closer to bringing his team, to successful playoff wins. So, overall, they look very good with this move right now. But if Carson Wentz had come out and really laid an egg, and we saw what we saw with Bradford last week, you would have had a lot of drama here in Philadelphia the last week.
But, the one thing I'm still a bit concerned about is the running game. And Jason Kelce seems to be struggling a bit again at center, and Lane Johnson looks like he's headed for the suspension. And the schedule only gets tougher from here. They got to figure out how to run the football.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think you just hit the Achilles heel of the team. And I think if Carson Wentz wasn't so good on his feet, and they run those sprint outs for a reason to keep them out of, you know, trouble from time to time. I think that the offensive line would be more exposed. And you're right, Lane Johnson, he's going to get the suspension. It hasn't been announced when it starts or how many games, but that's been appealed and overruled. He will play this week against Pittsburgh. I think it's a great opportunity that they got him for three games in order to get the backups ready to go in and play. But that is a weak point in this Eagles, you know, offense is depth at offensive line, which I think out of the 32 teams, Bill, I'd probably say 27 of them struggle with depth there. It's a really tough position. There's only one way to get better as an offensive lineman, and that's to have reps with your teammates. And, you know, when you're on the sidelines, that doesn't help much. So Kelce really looks like he's getting overpowered at times. And I know he's really bright and he makes the signal calls out there, but hopefully he'll get those feet underneath of him and play a little better. I don't know what their option is if it doesn't. Now, they've got a guy named Steve Wisniewski who started every game that he's played in the NFL except the last two. He's waiting on the bench to come in. I'm not sure why he's not playing or if he's in the doghouse, but he's got some experience and could probably come in and play pretty well. But that offensive line's got to get better. That's the problem. And they don't have any depth at running back unless Smallwood really comes up, you know, real favorable, but we haven't seen enough of him, and he didn't play much in the preseason to make an accurate, you know, observation on whether he's a, you know, can share 10 to 12 carries a game. We'll see what happens. I didn't like them running Darryl Sproles between the tackles last week. I don't know what that was all about, but that's
no,
not
me neither.
Working.
No. Wait, we mentioned the Dick Vermeil golf outing earlier. Are you involved in the, or at least attending the Otho Davis 18th Annual Scholarship Banquet in November?
Yes, I am, and I've gone most of them, except when I've had another, you know, gig to do or speaking engagement. And for those who don't know who Otho Davis was, he was one of the premier trainers in the National Football League during the 70s and 80s and early 90s. And he almost single-handedly, as the president of the National Trainers Association, took that whole trainer image up a couple notches. He challenged those guys from the earliest days that he was president to go back to school and get their, you know, get degrees in this, that, and the other so that they would be able to, you know, deliver shots to guys like flu shots and shots like, you know, Novocaine and things like that. And to be more than just, I remember him saying they got to be more than just ankle tapers. And he really set the bar high, and they really revered him as a leader, a guy that really stuck up for him and set the bar high and showed them the way they needed to go in order to become almost like glorified physician's assistants. You will find these guys are doing a lot more than just taping ankles now by a long shot. And unfortunately, about 15 years ago, he died of pancreatic cancer. But he will always go down as a guy that really knew his stuff, and he was a practical joker par excellence. And if you got a minute, I'll tell you, you know, one of the stories that he pulled on us as linebackers. he was the greatest at waiting a couple weeks till your guard was down. He did never overdid it. But one day I'm getting my ankles taped, and he says, when you're done here, he says, I want to see you in the little conference room. The little conference room had no windows in it, and it was kind of a private room where you could go in and talk to somebody if you were having problems. And I said, what's up, Otho? And he says, well, the Sports Illustrated has asked me. And he was, because he was cutting edge, he was always getting cutting edge equipment and things like that. And he said, Sports Illustrated has asked me to check out what kind of lung power the linebackers, you know, an NFL player has. And I figured you guys as linebackers, probably because you're between defensive backs and defensive linemen, you guys do a lot of running. You also, you know, hit people that are bigger than you, and you're going to probably have the best lung capacity on the team. And he had a chart up with all of our names on it. And Bergie and Bunting were ahead of me, and they already had scores on this little chart. And my name was next, and Frank LeMasters was after me. And we were very competitive as linebackers with each other on everything. And he says, so I want you to take a real deep breath, and here's the mechanism. And I'm looking at it. It's this tubing that goes around in a circle, and it's got a meter on it. What I don't notice, Bill, is that the end of the tube is pointing back at my face. And so he's psyching me up. So he says, "You can beat these two guys." And I'll tell you, I'm not gonna let them know this. But here, so come over here, and I come over, and he takes petroleum jelly, and he rubs it all over my, you know, my face. He says, "It's gonna close all the pores on your face, and it's gonna allow you to get extra power. You get one good breath, take it from your, you know, your heels, and blow on this as hard as you can." And of course, about half a pound of powder came out of the other end into my face. And when I opened my eyes, the only thing you could see was my mouth and my two eyes.
Nice.
Covered in powder. And he is laughing his, you know, rear end off. And he gives me a wet towel. He says, "Now wipe yourself off and go tell the master I need to talk to him."
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So anyway, he was constantly doing that stuff. But this foundation dinner they have, it sends two guys to college for a year on scholarship as behalf of the Otto Davis Foundation, which is really great. And some of the kids come from all over the country, and they're well-spoken, and you just feel really proud that they're able to take advantage of the scholarship.
All right, and more information can be had at OthoDavisFoundation.org or by calling 856-312-1129. I know that there's all kinds of Eagles, former Eagle players there all the time as well.
Probably,
I guess, the Dick Vermeil Award is the big award that's given out, isn't it?
Yeah, there's probably 25 to 30 alumni. There may be more this year because, you know, the alumni getting a little younger. You know, you don't think of Donovan McNabb as an alumni or Jeremiah Trotter, but they're in our ranks now. And you know, they'll probably, some of those guys will probably be there also. But there's always about 25 to 30 alumni there, and they're all there, you know, to take pictures, sign autographs. They're there to help the benefit. So they're very gracious that night. So if anybody's interested in going to that dinner, you know, go on that website, and the tickets are not that expensive. It's really a great night out in a nice hotel down in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, hey, we've covered a lot of ground, so let's get down to prediction time. Steelers and Eagles, who you like? And on top of that, what's your season prediction now that the Birds are 2-0?
Well, you know, it's nice to get off to a great start. This is going to be a real test of both teams, I think. You know, a lot of people are liking Carson Wentz to a younger Roethlisberger. And I tell you, Bill, this guy Roethlisberger, he amazes me with all the hits that he's taken over the years and the motorcycle accident he has, that his body is still functioning as well as it is incredible to me. And he's a heck of a leader out there. I think the Eagles are going to have their hands full with him. And I also think the Eagles defense may have a little bit of problems with him. You know, he's got some great wide receivers, as you know. Their running game's a little sus, and their defense is possibly a little suspect, and we'll see how Carson Wentz, after they get two game films on him, and you know how that goes, so they get old tendencies on you, and as rookies, you all go back to what worked for you. They may try some different things. I think it's going to be a heck of a game, but I think the Steelers are going to win it, but I think it's going to be a valuable lesson to the Eagles, and I don't think it'll dampen their opportunity to go out, you know, 2-0 in the 16-game season. That's a nice start. I don't care what anybody says. And their schedule seems to get a little bit easier after the Pittsburgh game before it again gets stiff again. And as you and I both know, injuries are everything. If something happens to Carson Wentz, you know, Chase Daniels is next in line, and that's a scary proposition.
Well, you know, one thing I'm looking forward to in this game is I follow the Steelers a bit because Marquise Pouncey is from Lakeland down here, and I actually coached against him and his brother back in the day when they were – Lakeland High School actually won the mythical national championship. And I'm looking forward to seeing him and Fletcher Cox in the trench. I think that's going to be fun.
Wait, I'll tell you, you could put the camera on those two the whole game. You might not be able to put the voice thing on it because I'm sure they'll put it as Clinton said, but those two guys, that will be a battle. That will really be a battle.
Looking forward to it. What do you think for the season? How do you see that going now that they're 2-0?
Well, with us jumping out 2-0 right now, I like our chances of being 9-7. I really do. And I think 9-7, 10-6 would definitely, I think, put you in a playoff. 9-7, depending on what everybody else does, might be a wild card. I think right now, and, you know, you've got the Giants. If anything happens to Eli, they're in trouble. Dallas is in a little bit of trouble with Romo not there, although this rookie quarterback, Dak, looks he looks pretty darn good, but he's got a learning curve to go through. And Washington is Washington. I say they're 2 years away from being 3 years away. That's how bad that team is. But it's going to be a battle, I think, between the Giants and the Eagles for the NFC East division, and I think the Cowboys could surprise some people.
Well, you know, it's funny. I went 8-8 with a possibility of 9-7, and Chet and Fred, who we picked together, all picked that they wouldn't come as well as that. And your buddy Bill Berge was on with us last week, and he gave us a 6-10.
That surprises me a little bit, you know. But I mean, being off 2-0, that would mean you'd have to go 4-10 the rest of the way. I don't see that happening. I really don't.
No, I'm with you. Well, hey, as always, Kevin, I think we've taken up all your time. We appreciate you joining us. But I got a Facebook message here while we were on the show, and somebody is wanting your contact information again. So can you give that again for the listeners?
Yes. www.kreily.com. I think if you
all
just
right.
do kreily.com, and it's R-E-I-L-L-Y.
All right. Well, hey, we certainly appreciate you coming by, Kevin. Always great. And appreciate the invite to next year. We will be there. Mark us down.
All right, buddy. Look forward to having you.
Okay, Kevin. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We got our trivia time. Our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. As mentioned, we'll be giving away a signed 8x10 color photo courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles of Eagles defensive back Rodney McLeod to the first person that can call and correctly answer our trivia question. As mentioned, Rodney will be signing the photo this Saturday at Carl's Cards. So here we go. And this was a tough one, so you gotta be ready for this one. Fred, I know you're on with us now, and we'll see what you think, if you would know this one, but this is going to be pretty tough. There are presently 7 quarterbacks who are 2-0. Minnesota doesn't count since they use 2 quarterbacks as starters. So there's 7 quarterbacks that started both games are 2-0. Of the 7, which QB has the highest QB rating? Fred, you know that?
I think I do. But you said it's tough, so it would be the – I don't know. I don't want to give a hint.
Well,
I don't want to give a hint. I might be wrong.
All right. Here we go. We'll do it again. There are presently 7 quarterbacks who are 2-0, not including Minnesota since they use 2 starters. Of the 7, which QB has the highest QB rating? All right. Let's thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right. Well, we're running a little behind, but it's Fred and Butter time with our special guest, Fred Hugo, joining us to provide his bit of a in-depth breakdown of the upcoming Eagles game along with the Cowboys, Giants, and Redskins game. And Fred and Butter was all over it in Week 2, just like Week 1, going 3-0 again, while Chet and I both went 2-1. So, for the season, Fred and Butter is now 6-0, while Chet and I are both 4-2. And Fred, I have to stop picking the stinking Redskins. They stink. They're my 2 losses. Welcome back.
They're terrible. They're terrible. But you got to sleep, like you said, not picking Dallas. But, yeah, like you were saying, you didn't really believe that pick anyway, I don't think. You just didn't want to pick Dallas, right?
No, I didn't. But you know what? I really thought, as bad as the Redskins played in the opener, that they might actually play decent in the second game, bounce back kind of like the Rams did, but they just stink. So now, of course, we're going to have to pick the Redskins Giants game, and you know where I'm going to go, and probably the stinking Redskins will win.
Yeah.
All right. So hey, we're going to do this a little different tonight since Chet isn't with us, but he has recorded his picks. So what we'll do, Fred, we'll go. through all three games first, Redskins, Giants, Bears, Cowboys, and then, of course, the Steelers and Eagles. And once we get through them all, you give your predictions, Fred, and we'll play Chet's recorded picks, and I'll be last. So, and by the way, I have not heard Chet's picks, but so I'm really interested in his Steelers-Eagles pick, of course. And certainly our listeners can chime in at any time on Facebook and pick their winners as well. So, Fred, let's get started, and let's go 0-2 Redskins at 2-0 Giants, followed by the 0-2 Bears at the 1-1 Cowboys, and finish with 2-0 Steelers, 2-0 Eagles.
All right, Redskins go up to New York. They're 4.5-point underdogs. There's all these rumors surrounding their locker room turmoil. Seems like that with them every year, really, that they're always pointing fingers. The plan supposedly is to have Josh Norman cover ODB, except for in the slot, even though he denies it. But the problem with that is they have Sterling Shepard, the rookie out of Oklahoma, and then with the reemergence of Victor Cruz, I just don't see any way that the Redskins can win this game. I mean, the Giants' defensive line's a little banged up, but they look good against the Saints. They pretty much kept Drew Brees in check, so I got the Giants winning this one 31-21.
31-21. I'll tell you what, I'll just go ahead and give my pick now, too, and we'll cover Chet at the end. I'm going to go Giants as well for all the same reasons other than I can't pick the Redskins to beat me the third straight week. So I'm going to go Giants. And you know, the common denominator about that locker room might be a guy that wears number 11 that used to wear number 10.
Supposedly he's not playing, or he's not sure if he's going to play.
Right, right, because things aren't going quite his way. All right, Bears, Cowboys.
All right. Oh, you're going to do Chet at the end. Oh, okay, so the Bears come in 0-1, coming into Dallas. We saw them last night, or Monday night. Dallas is clearly the better team, and not only do the Bears look like they're going to be an awful team, I was reading they have about 14 injuries. 8 players didn't practice today, and it just doesn't really look good. Hoyer will make the start, which I actually think is going to be an upgrade over Cutler, just the sheer fact that the team could probably rally behind him. But I think Sunday night is going to be Ezekiel Elliott's coming out party. The Bears, great run day, and the Dallas offensive line has yet to play the way we're expecting them to play. So I think he'll go well over 100 yards, probably a couple touchdowns. And I see Dallas, yeah, they haven't won in that stadium in over a year. So I think they win Sunday night, and I got them winning 30-17.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well. I think the Cowboys are just going to be too much to handle. And Zach Prescott, you know, he's playing pretty well himself. You know, a lot of the national attention is going to Carson Wentz, but Zach Prescott's playing pretty well for the Cowboys. Probably a lot, well, certainly an upgrade from all the subs they kept running in there last year for Romo. Prescott is certainly an upgrade to all that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Okay, here's the big one. Steelers-Eagles, bring it on.
Battle of Pennsylvania. This one's tough because I think Bob Sullivan wrote in. I was writing a couple people on Facebook. Are you picking with your head or your heart? So you gotta combine the two. But the Philly or the Steelers come into Philly. They're 3.5-point favorites. All right, they have a very high-powered offense. You got Ben Roethlisberger. He leads the league in touchdown passes. Then you got D'Angelo Williams, who also leads the league, I believe, in rushing and carries. And then their wide receiving core, who's already explosive, gets that much better with. I'm losing his name. Oh, Marcus Wheaton comes back this week. So it's going to be a real tough task for the Eagles defense. And I think the key for them is to try to keep the Steelers in the 20s. I mean, you can't get into a shootout match of 30, 40 points or they're not going to be able to win. The Giants or the Steelers defense, however, they give up a ton of yards. They're a bend, don't break type of defense and a lot of passing yards on top of that. So if the Eagles can score touchdowns instead of field goals, I think they can win this game. So I see Carson continuing the stride that he's taken. The Steelers don't put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. They don't blitz much. I think they have 1 sack in the first 2 games. So in a close one, which could probably go either way, I see the Eagles pulling this out 30-24.
Well, I'll tell you where I'm going to go with this. I might be picking with my heart instead of my head as well. But here's why. I think that I agree with everything you said. Certainly, I think the defense is going to be a challenge for Carson Wentz. I think he's going to play well. But what I think I'm looking forward to is I think the Eagles' defense is going to play well, and I think they're going to bang Roethlisberger. I think that front seven is going to come after him. That guy's a heck of a quarterback. You know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Antonio Brown worries me. Got to be able to do something with him. You know, you blitz, you end up putting your DBs in man coverage. That's not the best place to be. But I'm going to say the defense is going to step up, and the Eagles can't turn the ball over. But I'm taking the Eagles 27-24 at home.
Nice.
In a wild Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah, Peterson was calling out for the fans, like, we need you. And he's playing himself good, this guy. We'll probably talk about him a little later, but, yeah, I'm liking
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too. And I like the idea that they're at home. And it's a 4 o'clock game, national TV game. I think the Philly faithful are going to be out of their minds. They're you know, everybody's excited about what's going on right now. I think the faithful come ready, loaded, and ready to go. Not loaded, but loaded. They might be loaded too by the time they get there at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
But. All right. Well, I think, unfortunately, me and you have both the same picks, but that's okay. Let's see what Chad has to say.
Okay, guys, 3 games, 3 picks. Washington at the Giants looks like a no-brainer. The Giants are looking like a division contender, while the defending division champion Deadskins seem to be in a bit of disarray. The Giants stay unbeaten here with a 27-13 win. Chicago at Dallas. The Cowboys are the obvious choice in this one, even though the Bears have been a better road team than at home the last few years. Still, I've got to pick the stinking Cowboys again, 30-17. Sorry. As for the Birds, since the Monday night game ended, I've gone back and forth on the Steelers-Eagles contest about a dozen times. The fact that the Eagles have won the last 8 times these teams have met in Philly, dating back to the mid-60s, means nothing. There are only a couple of players on each team who were there the last time they met on this exact date, by the way, in 2008, when the Birds won 15-6. I happened to be there, and I remember Brian Dawkins having a monster day. This is one game where I get the feeling that whichever team I pick to win is going to be the wrong choice. So I'm going to take one for the team and pick the Steelers to win this one 24-20. I will absolutely be rooting against myself in that one. Oh, one other thing related to 2 major events of the past week. Happy 70th birthday to the great Ray Dinger, and a belated happy birthday number to the semi-great Bill Furman. See you next week, and go Birds.
Well, there you go. I guess I should screen these before I play them. What do you think?
Yeah, man. Happy birthday, Bill. How old are you again?
Thank you. The 16th. The 16th. So, yeah, we'll just leave that number out. Well, interesting that Chet's going to go Steelers. Like you said, he's taking it for the team. But the interesting thing, I think, from all 3 of us is everybody's expecting this to be a really tight game. And I think if you looked at the schedule before the season, this was definitely a circle L game. You know, not a circle W game, and that's not the case now. Regardless, I think it's going to be a competitive game.
Yeah, there's no question that when you, at least when I drew out my schedule, I had them 8-8, and this was definitely a loss. But Carson Wentz, I mean, I expected him to be good. I always liked Wentz, was on the Wentz wagon, but the fact that he looks so far advanced than we all expected him to be. If they come in and beat the Steelers, I'm throwing my 8-8 out the window. I might be looking for the division and more at that point.
Yeah, well, you know, I think certainly he's going to make mistakes, you know, and the defensive schemes are going to catch up to him a little bit. But, you know, I had an opportunity to watch a whole lot of Jameis Winston last year and watched him make mistakes and watch him get better, and he still makes mistakes this year. It's a lot of interceptions already. But the same with Marcus Mariota, and I was all out to begin with to say, you know what, put these guys in. Let's get it on. Let's go.
Yeah, I was scared to put him in because of the offensive line being the main thing. And he's the plays that Peterson's calling has protected him. But when Jason Kelce, hopefully he'll show up on with cleats on instead of rollerblades, because he's been on rollerblades the last 2 weeks, getting knocked over left and right. And then through the as the season goes, if Lane Johnson, people are thinking he's going to be out for the Lions game. I was listening to Adam Schefter today. He said based on the appeal date, he would play the Lions game as well, so we would get him up to that point. So I guess we'll see what happens with that line, but they're my main concern, and him taking hits as well.
Me too. Well, hey, I think we have a caller to probably answer our trivia question. They've been hanging on for a while, so who do we have?
Hello?
Hello. Uh-oh, it's that hello from the deep, dark voice again. What's up, Danny boy? I can tell it's you.
You can tell, huh?
I can. Do you have the answer to the trivia question? And then give us an Eagles-Steeler prediction real quick.
I do. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo is correct with a 117.2. Is that who you had, Fred?
I was thinking Big Ben.
No, actually, Carson Wentz is fourth. Yeah, Wentz is fourth.
Some credit.
I said
Big Ben.
Yeah, it's Garoppolo, Manning, Roethlisberger, and Wentz are the top four. So you are the winner, Danny.
Okay.
All right. So, okay, Danny, give us a quick prediction. Tell us what you think come this Sunday evening.
I'm not the champ for nothing. I don't usually give predictions away, and this is a tough one. I'm going to give you a couple of hints, though. Number one, it's an old cliche: win on Monday, lose on Sunday. And that spread that Fred was talking about, that actually opened up at 5.5, and that's all. Now it's down. It's settled out at 3.5. So think about that for a minute. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right. Well, Danny, we appreciate you calling. We will get that Rodney McLeod picture out to you early next week. And
thank you very much.
For joining
congratulations
us again.
Congratulations to Ed for winning the week on the Philly Press Box Pool.
All right. We're going to discuss that right now, actually.
Okay, I'm interested. I'll be hearing or listening. Thanks.
All right. Well, hey, Fred, as Danny mentioned, you know, being one of the 43 players in the Philly Press Fox Pick'em Pool, part of the prize besides winning the signed Eagles Reggie White mini helmet at the end of the season is each weekly winner gets a chance to come on the show and gloat a little and tell everyone how they won. And, you know, and in this case, the winner was not able to join us, and he actually just had to cancel within the last 20 minutes because he's tied up. But I can tell you, I had lunch with him today here in town, and he was just chirping away something about him and Danny Boy running the cream to the crop or cream to the top or some nonsense.
That's hilarious.
And Fred, I have to tell you, it's not breaking my heart that Ed Chambers decided that he is not going to join us tonight.
Yeah, it's better off not listening to him. I can hear Danny Bevins cackle in the background still. It's terrible. Either one of them winning is terrible to listen to. Someone else has to step up and get in there.
It is. Well, as I mentioned, Ed finished the week with a 12-4 record, not bad. And as for the season standings, after only 2 weeks, keep that in mind, only 2 weeks, we have Danny Bevins on top at 24-8 record, followed by Matt the Cobra McClure and Ed Chambers just one game back. So Ed is missing out on his 5 minutes of fame. Danny will never win again, so he better just call in to hear his voice win in trivia because he'll never win again.
That's what I had to do last year.
Yeah. So it's good. It's everybody's close. Keep in mind too, everybody gets to drop a week. So that lead, you know, it's pretty meaningless other than for gloating here after just 2 weeks.
Oh, that's good to know. I forgot about that. So you drop your terrible week and you can move forward from there. That's good to know.
Right. Actually, when you look at the pool, there's a tab that says what your record is if you drop a week. So you can go to that. But anyway, we shout out to Ed. Congratulations for winning. We're glad he didn't come on because we didn't want to hear him and Danny Boy chirping.
Definitely not. Definitely not. What Danny said, though, is an Eagles line, what he was saying, how the line started out at 5.5, and I'm into that. You know I am, Bill, and at least looking at it. And the fact that all the money is on Pittsburgh and they still move the line down tells you something, that the Eagles probably at least are going to cover the spread on Sunday.
Right, right. Exactly right. I just don't like that win on Monday, lose on Sunday, because there's a lot of truth to that, but I'm hoping it's not this case. Well, hey, we have a few messages, Fred, we need to send out tonight. First, want to send get well wishes to one of our loyal listeners and diehard Eagles fans, J.J. Nielsen out in Arizona, who's recovering from some pretty serious surgery. He's probably listening in, and we hope he is. He got home from the hospital today after being in for several days, and we want to say get well to J.J. And second, next week, Fred, I know this is one of the guys that you like, I believe, the Colonel. Mike Kern will be back with us, and Mike does a great job, so we're looking forward to having him back again.
Ah, he is a good guy.
He is a good guy. We had him on right before, during the NCAA tournament last year. Did a great job.
Yep.
All right. So, hey, Fred, let's get our signing update out there from Carl's Cards and Collectibles. As we mentioned, Eagles defensive back Rodney McLeod will be in the store this Saturday, September 24th. Carl's will be holding their annual Customer Appreciation Day, October 1st. Special guests will be former A's, that's it, Philadelphia A's, and Phillies pitcher Bobby Shantz, and former Phillies Whiz Kids pitcher Kurt Simmons will be there from 1 to 3. The first 50 autographs to the public will be free, so stop by if you want to meet these legends. Also, Hockey Hall of Famer, the Golden Jet, Bobby Hull, will be in the store on October the 8th. And just announced, Carl will be holding a private signing with the Flyers' Ron Hextall. If you have a personal item you want to get signed, it needs to be in Carl's hands by mail or hand delivery no later than October 19th. So be sure we get that to him.
If not,
stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles at 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA, or give Carl a call at 610-789-4996. You can also visit the website, carlscards.com, or contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards. All right, Fred, we just have a minute or two left, and I wanted to take you back, and you heard what Kevin was saying about the Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz here after the first two games, but I certainly wanted to get your opinion on how maybe surprised you are at how things have started out.
I'm very surprised, not only at how on point Carson Wentz is, but I think the real MVP is Doug Peterson. The way he has this team prepared, there's minimal penalties. He's on the ball with his play calling. He just seems in control of what's going on. And to be a rookie head coach and your predecessor being Andy Reid and all the people that he learned from, it doesn't always work out the way it sounds. And it seems, at least for the first two games, that he's got his stuff together and he knows what he's doing. So I'm really excited to see that, see the future with Doug and Carson. The fact that he looks like a 10-year veteran, albeit it is the Browns and the Bears, it's just really unbelievable how he really hasn't made any mistakes. I mean, I could count maybe three on my hand, and I'm really excited for the future. Very excited.
Me too. Me too. All right. Hey, we're at the top of the hour, so let's thank our special guest co-host, Kevin Riley. Fred Hugo, Carl's Cards and Collectibles, for their continuing support of the show. Barry Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chesko, who returns next week, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, September 28th at 7 p.m., when we're joined by Mike Kern. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio and on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.
USCL!